until the end. Amen. Amen. We're going to get into prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson because I have a lot I got to cover and I got, only got two sessions to cover it. So praise God. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for what you have imparted into each and every student online and here in the class, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to know how to sow seeds of honor and how to walk in honor and how to reap the benefits of honor, Lord God, in our lives. Hallelujah. And how to sow generational seeds of honor, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you for our apostle, Lord God, for the vision that he has placed, that God has placed in his life, and that we're a part of that vision, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, that as this semester comes to a close, Lord God, we know that even though it's the end, but it's going to be the beginning of new phases and new avenues, new directions that you have for us, Lord God. And Lord God, I'm careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. And Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you and I thank you for showing up. And Holy Spirit, as I state always, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. My dependency is totally upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In your book, around page 154, we're going to be looking at how to reap rewards of honor, how to reap honor rewards. And that's so very important. We want to reap honor rewards. And in this aspect, the author is talking about reaping honor rewards more in line with actual ministry. Reaping a harvest of honor through seeds of honor that's being sowed. What do you think it takes for a person's life to be demonstrated with the rewards of honor? You first must sow honor seeds before you can truly be rewarded with honor. And we've stated that all through the class sessions, all last year and this year, you know, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. In order to reap honor, you must first sow honor. And in sowing honor, you actually serve. But what we're going to be looking at is a seventh developmental plan for sowing seeds of honor. When developing generational anointings from father to son and from children to children's, you know, from children's children, whether it's a physical son from birth or whether it's a spiritual son in ministry, the author says that there is a seven-point developmental plan to developing seeds of honor, to developing that seed of honor sown. And the first point that we're going to be looking at is being called. He said the first criteria for that developmental plan for sowing seeds of honor is, number one, you must be called. That's as a call. As I stated, this particular class, even though I know not everybody in the class may be called into fivefold ministry, but at the same time, we're all called to be ambassadors. We're called to be disciples. And we're called to witness, we're called to the ministry of helps. So the same principles apply whether or not you're in fivefold ministry or fivefold ministry gift, or whether or not you're in supportive roles. Maybe not to the same degree, but the dedication is always going to be the same. Amen? All right, so the first point we're going to be looking at is being called. What does it mean to be called? And before I go into that, I want to give you all seven points that we're going to be discussing in the next two class sessions. I don't know if my online students heard me before we started, but this session and next class session will be, as far as I know, our last class sessions together. So we're going to try to finish the book up, the last remaining chapter in today and next week's session. So those seven points are, number one, called. Number two, commissioned. Number three, competent. Number four, conduct. Number five, continuity. Number six, confident. And number seven, control. But we're going to be looking at two of them today, called and commissioned. And we're going to be starting with called. So the first point in this 7-point developmental plan of sowing seeds of honor is, number one, you must be called. I'm going to give you a definition being called, or a calling. A strong inner urge or prompting to fulfill your vocation or assignment. A divine call to be called or summoned by God into ministry. A leading by God into your God-given vocation or your God-given assignment. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, so we're going to be looking at scriptures after scriptures that support call and support commission. But unto every one of us is given grace, which is a special endowment. That's Ephesians. I'm coming from Ephesians 4 and 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace, a special endowment or anointing, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He goes on and says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended above all the heavens, that all things, that he might fulfill all things. And he says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What did God give these gifts for? It said he gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints, or for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying means building up. And so this verse of scripture coming from Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7, gives you a list of the fivefold ministry gifts. And these are the vocations, or the Bible says, you know, firstly apostles, secondary prophets. We know that those two are the primary gifts that help establish the church and are foundational anointings, and that an apostolic anointing is so important in relationship to establishing God's government. Everything God does has to be in divine order, and it's so very important. And so from a ministerial or from a ministry point of view, in order to sow seeds of honor, you first have to understand that, you know, there's a call on my life. And then once that you know there's a call on your life, then you go about fulfilling that call. And a lot of times people try to step right into that call. But there's a time period of service. The first thing you need to do is to find out who the Lord has connected you to. If you know you have a call of God on your life, before you go out and do any kind of ministry, you need to find who your spiritual father is. Who is the person that God has placed you under that apostle or that pastor, that person can pour into you everything you need so that you can go out and do what God called you to do. And we're going to be talking a lot about that in today's class session. If you are called in ministry, God has placed you as a gift to the body of Christ. And one of the things I want to point out is you do not call yourself. You're called by God, you know. And it's, like I said, it's a prompting. It's an inner, it's hard for me to. May just have to shut this off. It's a prompting. What I mean by that, it's a knowing on the inside that God has something bigger than just your everyday running the mill, going to work, you know, living your life, paying your bills. You know that there's something greater that God has for you to accomplish in your life. And one thing I've found is you're never going to be satisfied until you begin to walk into that calling, until you begin to function in your designated divine role, divine assignment that God has placed you in. One of the things I've always stated is that you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life, because there's an unction there to function. And when you begin to function in that unction or in that anointing, well, then you bring honor to God, you honor yourself, and you will be honored because you're operating in godly humility by fulfilling God's will for your life. A calling from God is the first step of being successful in ministry. If you are not called, there's no way for you to be successful because you're doing something that you're not called to do. One of the first things you want to do is to make sure, Lord, I'm operating in my designated and designed role that you have placed in my heart. And a lot of times some people may not necessarily know what that is initially, but one of the things you need to do is that you need to just begin to serve. I never started, saying, well, Lord, am I an apostle or a prophet or evangelist? No, I just say, Lord, I just want to serve. We're going to look at Elijah, how Elisha served. We're going to look how God calls people before they're even conceived in their mother's womb. It says here in Jeremiah 1:5, God called the prophet Elijah. It says in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So here God is telling Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. We have been predestinated, predetermined. God already knew, foreknew, but before we were even conceived. But it's so important that we hook up to our destiny. Hooking up to our destiny, our God-given destiny. And once you do that, you can't help but be fulfilled. Ezekiel was also told by God that he was called. Paul was constantly, when he all the epistles, Paul opened them up talking about, that God called him. In Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. So here Paul is acknowledging the fact that I've been called. God has a designated plan for my life. And even before Paul was Paul, when he was Saul, and in the process of being converted on the road to Damascus, when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Ananias, even then God spoke to Ananias and told him that Paul or Saul at that time was a chosen vessel. It says here in Acts 9:15-16, God tells Ananias, he says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So here Paul is, our God is through the Holy Spirit is telling Ananias, I need for you to lay your hands on him that he might receive his sight because he's a chosen vessel. Even before Paul was born, God had a predetermined plan. Now, one of the things the enemy tries to do, he tries to circumvent you or try to get you completely going in a completely different direction, because he knows that once you hook up to your destiny, it's all over. You're going to begin to do damage to his kingdom. So he tries to get you involved, in all kind of ungodliness or get you involved in your career or something mundane or worldly, for monetary gain or just for self-fulfillment. But you're never going to be completely content or satisfied until you walk in that calling and begin to function in your God-given identity. One of the things that the apostolic anointing will do, it will hook men and women up to their calling. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but the first time that I met the apostle, my wife and I came in for counseling. We had been married for a couple of years, going through some marital challenges, nothing really, big, but just the small little things that people go through in marriage. And immediately when we sat down and began to talk with the apostle, that's back when the church was in the city of Darrell, congregation might have been 50 to 60, maybe 100 people at that time. But the man of God read my mail. He looked me in the eye and told me that what I wasn't doing and what I needed to do as a man, as the man of my household. And then he looked at me and he told me, he said, you know, there's a call of God on your life. You need to basically be about your father's business. And at that time, that wasn't on my agenda. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Even though I had done things prior to that involved in ministry, I had got off track. And you see, and that's what the enemy tries to do. He gets you involved. I used to do wedding photography. I did a lot of photography, videography, what have you, working. And I was content at doing those things, but I wasn't fulfilled. And it seemed like I was just kind of spinning my wheels. Even at another church I was at, I felt like I was just there, just a member, you know. And it wasn't until years later, because, you know, my wife would say, let's go to Word of Life. And I'm, because of that initial meeting, it's like, I don't know if I want, because I knew if I got around the apostle, that the what was on the inside of him was going to convict me that I need to be about my father's business. And then one Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, my wife came up to me and she said, let's go to Word of Life, this Sunday. And I just said, okay, let's go. And my heart was open. And right in the middle of his message, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, this is where you need to be. And I know you've heard me say that before, but God, you know, he spoke to my heart. And the very next Sunday, we came up and we joined the church. And the minute we walked up there, we standing here, the apostle behind the pulpit, he looked at me. He said, son, you should have been here. He knew already, you know, but God had to reveal to me, you know. And my first test was taking it. When he pointed at me, says, son, you should have been here. It's kind of like, I know the Lord just spoke to me last Sunday and told me to join the church. What do you mean I should have been here? But see, God had already, but I had to get the revelation. I had to surrender. And you see, that's what, you know, that was the first, probably as far as me beginning, because right after that, that was in the last week in December, say the first of the year. By that September, the charter class for the school of ministry started. And all of a sudden, the light clicked back on. I need to be enrolled. I think the last day of registration, I enrolled. But that started me on a course of getting me back on track to where God wanted me to be. And if I wouldn't have submitted then, I would not be here now. You know, but it's, you know, what I had to learn how to do from that point on was to serve, And that's what we're going to be talking about, the importance of serving. Let me read some things here. This is Paul admonishing his sons in ministry. I'm going to just shut this off because it's going to, I got all kind of alarms on here. Hopefully that did it. All right. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 12 and 13, it says, wherefore, that rather, brethren, give diligence. This is Paul speaking. To make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. Read that again. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence. In other words, be diligent about it. To make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. That's what an apostolic anointing will do. It'll always put you in remembrance of what God had already placed up in your heart. You know, that's one of one of the fundamental things in the area of establishing the church, because Paul had sons. Timothy, Titus were sons of Paul. And he was constantly going to their churches or to their towns, admonishing them, you know, putting them in remembrance. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent in putting you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I know it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the gift of God that's on the inside of you. That's Paul speaking, and he's admonishing right now. You know, this was actually Peter, but in the book of Peter, but he's admonishing them. You know, he says, and I have a note here. This is what the apostolic anointing will do. It will keep the fire under your feet concerning a ministry call. When you're in the right place, when you're under the right mantle and under the right in the right assignment, you know, it should keep a fire on the inside of you, you know, to fulfill God's purpose and God's plan for your life. And that's so very important. In Romans 11 and 29, it says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. In other words, you can't get around it. You can't repent when you don't fulfill it. You're not going to be satisfied until you fulfill that call of God on your life. Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the Amplified says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them. When once they are given, he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So it's a done deal. And it's all we need to do is just submit to it. And that's when you submit, you just yield. Say, Lord, as Jesus, when before he went to the cross, he said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you do that, you yield. All of a sudden now, the Holy Spirit will begin to empower you and to put the right people in place, put you in the right mantle, put you where you need to be to fulfill that call. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and in verse 8, Paul encourages us to walk worthy of our calling. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the office wherein you are called. He says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I appeal. This is the Amplified Bible. It says, I appeal, I beg you to walk, to lead a life worthy of the divine call to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Then in Ephesians 4, verses 2, it goes on to say, with all lowliness. When you walk in that call, you want to walk in all lowliness. In other words, you walk in humility, in meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He says to endeavor to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Then it goes on to say in verse 8, wherefore he said, he that ascended on high led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Jesus is the one who gives gifts unto men. We don't gift ourselves. We don't equip ourselves. We don't, you know, one of the worst things you can do is to put a title on yourself that's not your title. Don't, you know, sometimes people, and for years, you know, and I talked about this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, when a person felt they had a call of God on their life, it was automatically understood that you probably was going to be a pastor, because most people who felt they had a call on their life figured, well, I needed to start a church. It just seems to be the logical thing to do. But if you remember, I stated a couple of weeks ago, I said some people live and die and never reach the first phase of their ministry because they place themselves in an office or in a calling that God didn't call them to do. Now, God's grace will be on you for so long, but he really wants you to get in your calling, to get, because as I stated, you're going to be more anointed doing what God called you to do. I remember reading books by the prophet Kenneth Hagin, and he started out as being a pastor. And for years, and then all of a sudden, the Lord told him, he says, I never called you to be a pastor. And then so since he said, well, God, if you didn't call him to be a pastor, the next probable thing that I see everybody else doing is being an evangelist. So he ran around traveling, being an evangelist. Well, I think eventually, I don't remember how the scenario completely went, because it's been a while since I read some of his books, but he had gotten real sick. And he sought the Lord about it. And the Lord said, I didn't call you to be an evangelist. You know, then the Lord began to deal with him about a training center and began to deal with him about various aspects of ministry specific to him. And then he began to walk into the first phase of his ministry. He had been ministering for years, you know, and then at specific times, the Lord says, you're now entering the second phase of your ministry because you fulfill what I've called you to do. You know, even now with our apostle, as we're seeing as he stepped into the apostolic role, that was another phase that God is calling him to, and he's walking in that phase. Whether or not that's the second phase or the third phase, I don't know. But it's a new assignment, a bigger, because of his faithfulness in fulfilling, you know, as a pastor and as a teacher, you know, as a prophet. Now God has placed another mantle, another assignment because of his faithfulness in doing what God's called him to do. Let's see. My notes just went wild on me. While I was talking, they just decided to just keep rolling. Ain't no big deal. We'll find where we need to be. Let's see. Give me a second. Okay, this is what I want to share also too. This is Paul admonishing Timothy. And when I read this, I saw the apostle's heart as the apostle feels the same way Paul did towards Timothy. And you could almost put Timothy or put your name and put the apostle's name. He says, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. I may not read all of it, but it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my beloved son. Just imagine the apostle saying that to you. You know, put your name in that, my beloved son. Grace and mercy and peace for God the Father and for Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may fulfill with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfrayed love that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore, now this is where he really gets started talking about ministry. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. Here again, that apostolic anointing, putting something in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's the apostolic in operation. It'll always stir something up on the inside of you. Once I got hooked up under the apostle and began to submit in ministry, it always, every time I come to church, it stir up something on the inside of me. You know, that's what that apostolic anointing will do. It says, for God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's see. I wanted to get down to verse 9. It says in verse 9, it says, who had saved us and called us. We were talking about the calling. And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works or anything that we did, and our own ability. So you weren't called because of your own natural ability or your accomplishments up to this point. He said, not according to your works, but according to his own will. You know, by his own will, his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ when? Before the world began. Before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. So that calling was there. You know, I remember when I got baptized at the age of 6 or 7, I can't remember exactly but I remember very vividly the evening after I got baptized in this Baptist church in Lafayette, and I probably shared this because I'm a repeater, but I can remember that evening with driving around with my aunts and uncles in the car, sitting in the front. That's when you had the humps in the car, and I was sitting on the hump, and the radio was playing, but all of a sudden I began to hear a voice, and I'm thinking it's coming from the radio, and the voice began to tell me how much he loved me. He said, I love you, my son. I love you. And then I asked my aunt, I said, did you hear that? She said, yeah, I hear the radio, you know. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And I recognized what I was hearing wasn't coming from the radio. It was God speaking to my heart. You know, there's a time when you first accept Jesus Christ that your heart is alive unto God. The Bible says, as a child, when you're tender, your heart is alive unto God. But sin revived, Paul said, and I died. And after a protracted period of time, I stopped hearing that voice, because once I reached the age of accountability and I began to do my own thing and renege on following God, well, then sin revived and I died. But once I got rededicated my life later on as a teenager and got filled with the Holy Spirit, immediately after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I began to hear that voice again. I remember God speaking to me, plain and specific, and just a comfort and a reassurance. You know, because see what happens is you get reconnected back to your destiny, you know, and all of a sudden now you got to take an about face and start doing what God's called you to do. Amen. All right, let's move on. The author says, and I understand his point here, but, you know, I want to make sure I iterate this properly. He says, find individuals that are called physically and spiritually. And it's not the spiritual father's place to find the individuals. It's for you and I to find our God-given fathers, our God-ordained pastors. He says, find individuals that are called physically and spiritually. And when you find them, you put them in their calling. If you will honor that calling and speak into that calling, it is the first step to reaping honor rewards by as a pastor. And one thing the apostle, what he did with me, I can use me as an illustration, because, you know, I don't know how things transpired in your life. But after I finished the school of ministry and started serving, working with we had cell ministries for several years. I remember going to his office, asking him a question about a situation involving my cell. And he answered it. And then I said, thank you, sir. And I was walking out. And he says, no, Greg, sit back down. You're in here for another reason. And I said, well, I am. And so I sat back down. And he said, I want you to start going into the prisons with brother so-and-so. And I says, I want you to begin to develop the gift of God that's on the inside of you. You need to begin to develop it. You know, and you see, this is an example of an apostolic anointing putting you into your calling. You know, because immediately when I stepped out of his office, my knees buckled. If it wasn't for the fact that the hall was real narrow and I was up against the wall, I might have would have fell down, because the first thing came to my mind is, I can't do this. And guess what? In the natural, I couldn't. But one of the things that really, and it's a process. God spoke to my heart. He says, if your man of God thinks enough of you to put this request upon you, you know, you need to by faith step out into it and just believe God to help you. I did and he did, you know, and I've been doing that for 22, 23 years now, you know, several people in prison ministry under me, you know, but here again is, you know, that apostolic putting you in, you know, putting you into your calling, you know, and, you know, too many times people place themselves in ministry, but what's happening now, because God's government is being established, those people who are already in ministry, once they hook up now to an apostolic anointing, that anointing now straightens things and get things functioning properly. You know, sometimes, you know, some people may overstep their calling. He may say, no, take that title down, because it's not time yet. You know, I'm not saying God is not calling you to that, but you just, you know, you operate in this area here, you know, because I need to see fruits of that before. If I don't see fruits, you know, how can we call you something where there's no fruit? You're not bearing fruit in that area. You know, that's what an apostolic will do. Amen. But, you know, all of this has to do with us sowing the seed of honor. And this seed is a generational seed, because what it does is it not only is it is going to reap fruit and blessing in your life, but in everybody's life hereafter that you affect. You know, when it talks about generational seed, is not only just your seed, your physical seed, but the sons and the daughters that come in, people that you impact, you might have witnessed to them, they might have gotten saved, or you might have nurtured them. And as you walk in your calling, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying, for the body of Christ. So now you're speaking into other people's lives, and you're nurturing them. So what's in you now is being poured out in them, because what's in your man of God was poured out into you. And so now you're making deposits in other people. And so that generational anointing is just flowing, you know. And that's so very important. And I want to talk about Elisha. Let's see where I want to go here. No. I want to state this. Elijah went after Elisha to serve him after Elijah's mantle, which is a representation of the anointing, was cast upon him. You must pursue your man of God. Your man of God does not pursue you. You know, you may initially make that contact with him, but once you recognize that that's who God has placed you under, it's your job to pursue him. And basically what happens in 2 Kings chapter 3, Elijah says, it says here around verse 11, it says, but Zarephath said, okay, now this is an illustration of Elijah serving Elisha. Jehoshaphat said, you know, is there a prophet in the land that we may inquire of the Lord? And one of the kings of the servants of Israel answered and said, there is a man, the son of Zarephath, who poured water on Elijah's hands, which means that Elisha served Elijah. He served Elijah faithfully. And by doing so, he reaped the seeds of honor. Elijah received a double portion of Elisha's anointing. Matter of fact, he did, from what biblical accounts, double the miracles that Elisha did. Okay? He served Elisha for many years. And I've heard some people say it was as many as 18 years. But he never left his man of God. You know, matter of fact, on the day that Elijah was going to be caught up in the whirlwind, you know, the other prophets, the sons of the prophets said, don't you know that Elijah is going to be leaving today? And he said, I know, hold thy peace. And then, so basically what Elijah says here, he says, and Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You know, so they went to Bethel. And then again, the sons of the prophets came to him and, you know, said, don't you know that your man of God is going to be leaving? And he said, yeah, I know, hold your peace. And then Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you. I've been called, I've been assigned, I've been commissioned to serve you. Hey, I'm not going nowhere. And I have them same sentiments. I'm not going nowhere. You know, I know where I belong. I'm going to stay put in my assignment, because that produces honor. You know, Elisha, the younger prophet, by him serving his man of God, it produced honor. And then from the man of God's perspective, Elijah, it produced a generational anointing, because now what's on him got on his son. And what was on Elisha got on those people who followed him. And so that's how that generational anointing produces generational blessing. Amen? All right, let me move on, because I don't want to read all. I've had a lot of scriptures, but I'm trying to. In conclusion about Elijah and Elisha, one thing I want to pay. It is noted, and I stated this, that Elijah did have twice the amount of miracles that Elisha did. Elijah's faithfulness in serving caused rewards of honor to be bestowed upon him. Okay, number two, the second part of that plan is to be commissioned. Okay, the definition for commission, how am I on my time? 10 minutes? 15? Okay, great, good. The second one is commissioned. That definition means the act or granting or delegating certain powers of authority, privileges, or granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, usually done by the laying on of hands. I'm going to read that again. To be commissioned means it's the act of granting or delegating certain powers or authority, privileges, or granting the authority to carry out a particular task or duty or position in ministry, and that's usually done by the laying on of hands, being sent out or released from ministry. And to give you some examples, you know, from a secular point of view, the commissioning of a police chief before public office. A lot of times they'll have a dedication or a service. Another good example of a commissioning, when they build a ship in the Navy, a lot of times they'll have a commissioning where they take a wine bottle and it's a ceremony, you know, where something is commissioned. When the president takes the oath, he's actually commissioned. That's a form of being commissioned or being sworn in to the office. You know, they're in the office, but from a spiritual point of view, there's importation and transfer that takes place by the laying on of hands. I could remember when the apostle called for the 12 master life bearers over the church. He called the husbands and the wives. He laid hands on us and he commissioned us to serve in those offices. So whatever anointings, whatever gifting, whatever talents, whatever we need to fulfill that role, you know, through the transfer of anointing, we receive whatever importations we need to be faithful in those assignments. When I was in prison ministry, because we needed credentials to go into some of the facilities, you know, we were licensed, and there were several people who were licensed, and he laid hands on those people, and he granted us, you know, by the laying on of hands, and that's so very important. I want to read some things in regards to that. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered. That's so very important. When you are commissioned, you are properly ordered and granted authority and sent out. You didn't go out. You were sent out, authorized by God and man to do the work wherein you are called. This is the proper order of the kingdom, being sent out properly. Too many people go without their pastor or their prophet or their apostles' blessing and being sent out properly. Because when you're sent out properly, Elisha is a perfect example. Because Elisha told him, he says, you know, I'm going to be leaving you. He said, you know, anything that I can do for you. And he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he said, you ask a hard thing. He said, but if you see me when I go, you know, it'll be so. But if you don't see me, it won't be so. And so basically what Elijah was telling them, you need to keep your eyes on me. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard the apostle say, all eyes on me. Matter of fact, sometimes he'll even turn the screens off. You know, don't look at the screen. The anointing is not on the screens. The anointing is on me. You need to see me. I've heard him say, and I've even seen times where when he was at Kenneth Hagin meetings, where the apostle is steadily looking, he's ministering, but he's looking right at my man of God. Why? Because there's a transfer that takes place. And I could go on and on about things that I've witnessed and even situations where men of God laid hands on him, where there was a transfer, you know. Why? Because, you know, it's a commissioning. It's a commissioning that has to take place, where a mantle or anointing or a gifting that's needed from a spiritual point of view to carry out the work that God has called you to. All right. Let's see. In 1 Timothy 4 and 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. So here the Apostle Paul through Timothy is saying, don't neglect the gift. Thank you. That's in you, that was given thee by prophecy and by the laying on of hands by the presbytery or by those who are in spiritual authority. For this cause, here's another scripture in Titus 1 and 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. So here he's saying, I need to set in order the things that are wanting or the things that are lacking. Paul is talking about setting in order the things that were lacking. God's kingdom must be set up in divine order. For it to function properly, the government of God must be set up properly. Those who are called must be first properly commissioned before they should be sent out to execute the mandate of God's kingdom. You know, there's called and then there's commissioned. You want to be called and you want to be commissioned. And then we're going to be looking at competent. We're going to be looking at, you know, being, there's got to be a continuance, you know, there's got to be a confidence, you know, all of these things. There's seven principles that we're going to look at that we have one class session left, but all of these things are so very important. I want to make sure I'm covering everything that I need to cover for this session. Yeah, it's the last thing here. When a spiritual father commissions ministry sons who are trained, developed ministers, their chances of success in ministry are huge because they have received a transfer of anointing from their spiritual father. So when spiritual fathers commission ministry sons who are trained and developed ministers, because over the years, as the Elijah principle continues, as they follow their man of God, they're being properly trained. And so now their chances of success in ministry are huge, the author says, because they have received that transfer of anointing from their spiritual father. So we're going to continue with the last five or so points of this development plan for the rewards of honor. And I'm trying to wrap it all up. And, you know, so this year has been a blessing. And I just trust God that God has imparted into each and every one of you, students online and students in the class, everything that you need for you to be successful in your God-given assignments. Amen. All right. We'll see you guys next week.